Guess what time it is? It's time to bring on Mr. James Hawthorne and the man himself, Mr. Alex Linder. I hear James breathing. James?
Is that me breathing or am I dead? Am I dead?
And Alex.
Hey, how you guys doing?
There you are. Hey, how's it going?
Oh, it's going okay. I just listened to you guys talk. And
are we making sense?
You're making sense.
Good. Are we making dollars?
Alex, are we entertaining, though?
Yeah. I'm learning about having some food and learning about Cuba.
Cuba.
But,
what's going on in Cuba?
That's a line from the movie.
Oh.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Cuba being the some of the musical background.
Mr. Hand.
Yeah, I've heard about that Euro what is it, Euro Pop or Eurovision contest. Mm-hmm. I think they include Israel as a European country, and they've even won it once, I believe. But
that's insane.
Yeah, faggotry has really obtained a wide purchase here in the States.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of people hopping around and being fruity on TV.
Fruity.
And it's kind of irritating. Hey, I wanted to talk a little about, and I'm waiting on a call. I have to leave immediately.
Okay.
If I have to leave, I will, but I'll be back as long as you guys want to stay up. But
yeah.
We've now had four rapes here in this 17,000-man town. There's a fourth rape now.
Oh, my God.
Un-effing believable. I just posted this. Okay, people can go to Kirksville today, and I think I just posted it. I posted new letters right now.
Okay.
Which has, I copied a lot of it. But anyway, Kirksville today, let me see here. And we've attracted at least one, cricker is kind of the name they give the shit cricker. It's kind of a derisive term for a certain type of Kirksville person. But one of them's adopted that, who's made a couple intelligent comments. We got one who's been making harassing comments and one making intelligent comments. Most of the harassing comments haven't been allowed through, just because they don't add anything. If that person does add something, I will post them. But tell me to get out of Kirksville. It doesn't make the grade. Yeah. So, you know, we don't want to ethnically intimidate anybody here. Do you not want me here because I'm white?
Yeah, right.
I'll run over to the Department of Justice and stick them on you.
Yeah,
but anyway,
ACLU and NAACP and
anyway, Stan. So and James. Let's see what we got here. We got okay. So basically, there's one store open in the middle of town in the middle of the night called Come and Go, which is a
whorehouse
off 63, which is the drag that runs through here. There's maybe one or two open, but in the middle of town, there's only one that's right off campus. So some 16-year-old girl and her mother go in there at 3 a.m. and report a rape.
Huh.
And after further investigation, officers learned the alleged incident happened at 314 South Main. Well, I walked by there today because they've been blocking off our street to put in gutters, and it's cement and you can't drive. So I walked up to the post office, and I walked around town just to look around. And this is a shithole apartment house, if you totally believe a nigger lives there. I don't know if the guy's black or not, but with the name Roderick, he may well be. So apparently it appears that I think they just booked him on second-degree statutory rape, and another young victim has come forward. They haven't charged him for that one yet. So you got that's likely black, and then you got this other one that's appears to be a genuine trailer trash. He lives in a trailer park and has a prior, underage sex type deal conviction, and apparently he's done it again.
Oh, man.
Let me see this. Hold on, I'll read you out of this. And, well, this is the one that I think is black. Moved to Adair County after spending 3 years on probation in Independence, Missouri. He originally received a 5-year prison sentence for felony robbery in 2001. The sentence was suspended. Now, am I wrong, or does that mean he didn't serve anything? Or he only served a little? He gets off with probation in 60 hours for a felony robbery. So basically, you can do all these things and get away with it. And so he comes up here from Independence and is soon into the teenage girls, it would appear. And anyway, we're still waiting to collect more on that. It's possible he's not black, but I would say it's
like
unlikely.
Roderick?
The name like Roderick, possible but not likely. He's probably a black. And remember, there's a second girl waiting in the wings who he may also have raped. Although no one has accused him of that yet. And then here's this other one. Just before 2 a.m., trailer number 12 in Dogwood Trailer Court. Police say the victim was a 15-year-old girl from out of town. 25-year-old John T. Downing has been charged with second-degree rape and second-degree statutory sodomy. Both are Class C felonies. So that accounts for three. Now, this guy's probably just white scum. And believe me, there is plenty of white scum, too.
Right.
It's just that it's so... that. When you say black scum, you mean black. You're being redundant when you say black scum.
Right.
Whereas you're not being redundant when you say white scum.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, John T. Downey, I'm guessing he's not black. But that's three, and then there was some fourth rape that they haven't given any more details on. But I'm going to get into reporting this stuff directly instead of relying on them.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I was walking around town. I priced out some cards, and I'm going to put them out in St. Kirksville today on them. And,
right.
I can do a better job than these suckers are doing, but
you want some
this
press
is,
passes too. I can pick up some press passes.
maybe let's just see. Stan, I put a bunch of cartoons. Actually, we have the cartoons from Rob Smith on the front page right now.
Yeah.
And we've been messing around with getting those sized correctly. And
okay.
Don Pauly sent in the correctly sized versions. I posted those. They're still not overly legible. I'm not sure what we got to do, but. Rob Smith will be doing more cartoons, and we'll be working to get that right. And Stan's going to scan in the bundle I sent him along with some other cartoons, some other freestanding pieces, and we'll get that stuff up. But anyway, four rapes in one small town in about 48 hours.
That's crazy.
Pretty remarkable. So we've had a minority. If that guy's a minority, that's one or two rapes, and we've had two murders that I believe one of them was definitely committed by a Mexican, and the other one probably was.
Wow.
So that's our small minority community is committed, you know.
Now, how many
at least
people
four
are in
felonies.
Your community?
Well, the signs say 17,000. We got a college here of about 6,000. It's actually, we got a couple medical schools. This is where osteopathy, if you guys have heard of that, actually
right.
began. Andrew Still. This town was founded, and James will laugh at this, this town was founded in like 1841, and I just... the guy who founded it was named Jesse Kirk, and he owned a bar here, and he was one of the early settlers. And my ancestors came in not long after it was founded. And I know that they knew Andrew Still, who founded osteopathy, which is back then was the idea that you manipulate bones, and all diseases can be cured by bone manipulation. Now that's obviously ridiculous, but remember this is the 1840s. People didn't know that much back then.
Right.
So today they have a medical school, AT Still? I forget the exact name of it, but this is the original osteopathy school. They produce DOs as opposed to MDs.
Right.
And when you meet a DO, they'll always say almost immediately after they tell you they're a DO, well, we have more training than an MD does.
Uh-huh.
Because they have osteopathy thrown on top. Now they become open to the other stuff as it's proven its efficaciousness. So they're open to, you know, the pills and the rest, and the bone manipulation is just one of their tools.
Okay.
But, yeah, so they have a school of that. Ironic, they also have a school of that over in Lewisburg, over where 30 miles from where Dr. Pierce's setup is. Just throwing that out there. But
I look at the, I call it the open door into the Jewish media sanctum, whereas we can run blogs against local newspapers.
Exactly.
And report this truth. Alex is right, this is powerful stuff, this.
It should be, and part of the reason I'm doing it is to encourage others to do it with their local paper, and it doesn't even matter if it's a big city or not. We've got one paper, and we've got one TV station that's an ABC affiliate, and we've got the campus here that has about 6,000 students. They also have their own little cable news thing that they do, and they've got their own paper. And then they have one alternative paper. So really there's three or four papers, but really only two major ones. And, well, really only one professional one and then a couple college ones and one TV station, and that's it.
Right.
That's all the news you get about Kirksville. So, and there's a lot going on that they don't talk about, and that's what I'm hoping to get more people knowing about this site and commenting on it. But right now I've got one positive and one hostile. So,
yeah.
Well,
as the blog grows, I mean, it intimidates these journalists who are in the local newspaper, because the blog becomes more powerful than the freaking newspaper.
Mm-hmm. That's my goal.
And I would urge people, not only in the United States, but also in all over Europe, you'll even, what's the old saying, act locally?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, think global, act local.
Yeah, act local. And think global, act local, and let's all build these blogs against our local newspapers.
And what did Tip O'Neill, was a big leader of the House from Boston, all politics is local. This is where the rubber hits the road, to use the cliche. I mean, this is where federal policies on race hit the ground in these little communities where, I don't know if you're familiar, James, we got HUD in the U.S., Housing Urban Development, and basically they force developers to put aside a certain percentage of the units that they build for poor people, but that basically translates into niggers coming up from St. Louis or over from Independence / Kansas City,
right,
and filling this housing and carrying on as niggers, and more white population to rape, get into and mess them up, and the local idiots that I call rent-a-hicks, who are just as big of hicks as the local rurals. Okay, not using hick as a derogatory, but they seek to elevate themselves because they have a little more education and they've gone to college and they've adopted the liberal ideology. Then they come back here and they think that makes them better than the other people because they're more enlightened. So these are the people who lead the college and who lead the form kind of the local gentry and cooperate with the feds. It's very much a Soviet council type thing where you get the directions from above. And they get the perks. So you pay off the locals to carry out your agenda. And part of that is just calling guys like us haters for telling the truth about this stuff.
Yep.
We must fight back.
In the past, the Kirksville Express and other local newspapers throughout not only America but also in Europe too could carte blanche tell lies about people
like
us.
Absolutely.
But now, do you know what? Thanks to the internet, we can fight back.
That's exactly right, James, because I talked to both O'Rear, who's the kid managing editor, and to Larry Friels, who's the publisher. And Friels says he won't publish anything inflammatory. Which basically means that my entire way of being is not possible. I can't respond with any wit or any attempt to draw blood in describing the facts that they screwed up in their two articles about me so far. Are they going to print one saying that, we're not going to... In the end, the police decided not to sue Mr. Linder because he hadn't broken any laws, but sorry for reprinting a bunch of Canadian libels that we were too lazy to fact check. They're not going to run anything like that. So that's exactly right. This is the only way we have to fight back.
One of the blogs, here's one for you, one of the blogs, which now is like a worldwide blog, which everyone, well, I won't say everyone, but people who are like us, who believe in our people and believe in our race and believe in our racial culture, our heritage. This guy in Costa Mesa, Mr. Millard, who posts on Vanguard News, he posts on nationalvanguard.org and also other blogs. He's got his own blog called CM Press. Mm-hmm. And because of Costa Mesa's tinderbox over immigration, people in England are reading his blog.
Mm-hmm.
And he's running his blog against the Costa Mesa Daily Pilot.
Yeah.
Ah.
That's a very good example.
People,
I mean, I'm not even familiar with that. But, well, you see, it's the same exact problem no matter where you go in the white world. What we write here in Kirksville could be just as relevant to someone in, Brisbane, Australia or something, or...
Or Birmingham, England.
Yeah, because it's the same thing. The elites are agreed on this world plan that is going to screw things up for ordinary whites. And to achieve their plan, they have to mix in these coloreds in our communities and then cover up what happens.
Right.
We are the ones who can uncover that. And the thing is, we form our alliances over the internet, so that you're hearing the three of us now in places separated by thousands of miles and oceans.
Yep.
But here with these local blogs, we can actually cultivate local networks of people who understand what's going on, and in time, if it gets big enough and organized enough, can actually fight back physically.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank you, Alex, for posting my just an off-the-cuff comment, but there's no, when you're involved with us over the internet, there's no Jew between me and you.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good mnemonic way to remember it. I always make little rhymes like "Only the Jew won World War II," and then little kitty ditties that people can remember.
Remember, yeah,
that's it.
Because that's the effective truth of VNN is that for once in your life, for the only thing you'll see all day, there's no Jew between you and what and the media that you're getting. Everything else is filtered.
Yeah.
Well, we don't want to be they could call it inflammatory. They just mean they don't want anyone writing to fellow adults. Let's just keep it kiddish here, and we're all on the page that diversity is a great strength, and we don't talk about race and crime stories, and we try to stamp out hate because we're good, and
yep.
We're trying to save a world for adult
yeah.
Aryans.
That's it.
Yeah.
There's not much space left. But, you know, I walked around town today, and I now realize there are three tattoo parlors in town. Three Mexican restaurants and three tattoo parlors in a town of 17,000 people.
Huh.
Wow. How the hell do they stay in business?
Yeah, exactly.
I can't believe there's that many people who want tattoos.
Well, college kids, that's, yeah.
That's amazing to me, though.
I think Alex's blog will be growing really, really quickly.
Yeah.
Especially
when school's in.
Yeah, they're all kind of waiting. We're in that kind of lull right before they come back.
Mm.
But they're getting right now, all they got is like the football team here and lots of their diversity coons who are on the football team, like the two who the one white guy from Louisiana and one black are practicing with the football team right now after running over one of the barmen here and getting in a fight with the owner and one of the barmen, and the one guy, actually it was the white guy, ran over the guy that with his car, and they're out free on bail until their trial starts, I think within a month or so. But it's been, you know, they've been out in their own recognizance for 8 or 9 months. Now you imagine me running over some nigger with a car, quickly I'd be slapped in jail and how high the bail would be.
Oh yeah,
I wouldn't be practicing any football with some team. It's ridiculous. But there's a complete double standard. I mean, football niggers are the greatest hero in the world.
Yeah.
In the U.S., there's nothing higher than a football nigger.
Yeah.
But
well, there is a football nigger on crack.
Yes, indeed.
That's a really lame joke, but.
But you know what?
There's some truth to it.
But here's one for you. We call haters today, but we will be in power tomorrow.
Oh yeah.
That's right, and there will be a radical change in the ordering of things.
A lot of change. Yep.
But I want to say, as a conclusion to the Kirksville stuff, and we can move on to something else, I'm delighted that we have this Crickers R Us who's made several intelligent comments on our blog, and we're glad to have you, and get in touch if you wish.
Definitely.
And we're looking for other people, too. So
yep.
We'll just see. We're just getting going on it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I keep linking that into the main page. I just posted a bunch more reader mail for the 11th, and then I'm starting one for the 12th.
Nice.
But someone sent me some background information, pretty detailed, on that Atlas Shrugs, actually, who's some broad who runs one of those neocon kike slobbering sites.
Right.
That gets a lot of traffic. James Wolcott mocks it. And, you know, it turns out she's some super rich kike, basically, who is associated with the New York Observer.
Oh.
But, you know, they like to dig up and print information about us, thinking they're going to embarrass us. We'll embarrass you right back. We know who you are and where you live.
Go,
you know, so
throat, man.
you want to anything that you can do, we can do too. Keep that in mind, kikes.
Yep.
And that, do you know what, Alex and Stan? That's the power of these blogs now. If you run your blog against your local newspaper, do you know what? The freaking journalists, if as Alex does so brilliantly, he points
even to
out
call them fucking journalists is a fucking joke.
Yeah, yeah. You point out their mistakes and.
I did. I blasted them on that one.
They get paranoid and everything.
Oh yeah. Well, they make so many. Well, I already printed my letter that they never printed, my letter to them that they never printed, pointing out they had me misspelling the judge's name. They had one of Warman's words completely wrong. And so much that it didn't even make sense at all. And I could tell from talking to the publisher, they're super, super sore point.
Oh, yeah.
And it is, what have I said? They got four so-called reporters, two of them basically covering the girls' high school golf team as so-called sports reporters. One very young girl who does an okay job writing up, you know, the town council meetings, and then their managing editor who written a lobotomized editorials about, oh, how wonderful it is to give your life for your country, you know, about Paige, as opposed to trying to make money. Just stuff that would have been outdated in 1915.
Right.
Didn't we saw that in World War One? That, you know, that there's nothing particularly glorious about dying for your country when it's, you know... unless it genuinely is defending it, a war for just because it's fun or what—it's not cool.
All right,
you killed off the flower of the white youth, you know, in World War One.
We got a problem. We just
lost the
server. It just restarted itself. So hold that thought.
Okay.
Until
what
we
happened?
Can get back to air. It did the same thing it did the other night. It just shut itself off.
How long you been on air today?
Oh.
I just woke up at midnight.
Started at 10.
Okay, so you were on 2 hours when I first started here.
Yeah. Let this thing restart
and
take a piss break real quick if you need to.
All right, I'll be here. I'm ready.
All right. Yeah, damn it. I don't know why this keeps doing it, and it keeps doing it at the same time.
Don't worry, Stan. We got some major money down the road.
Yeah.
Coming our way.
Oh, now we got a caller calling, too.
Registered sex offender. Yeah, okay.
Right. I'm going to take a break. Hang on.
All right. Yeah, this thing's restarting.
Is that your server, Stan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the uploader. It just... I don't know why it does it. Same time every night, it restarts itself.
Have you got not a backup or anything?
No.
Four?
Nope. Not yet. That guy, Ed, is sending a motherboard, power supply, and an AMD 2600 processor chip.
To you?
To me.
Okay, get whatever you can get and tell him, you know, if you need to use me as backup, like, whatever Stan needs is good for VNN, send it to him.
Right.
And then, what about his idea for doing a server, is that...
That's Orion, otherwise known as Sabrosa.
Oh, two separate people?
Yeah. Oh, these people...
Oh, I thought you said he was sending it to you. Yeah. Yeah, Stan, they want to support us. They're trying to figure out how, and they...
Yep.
It's you know what, it's actually kind of like a female, you know, if you act the way I do, it's kind of like you kind of fan them on because you never really overtly call for money,
right?
So they want to help you, but you keep them hotted up in that sense.
Yeah.
It's kind of faggoty to talk like that, but really you got to be kind of androgynous in a lot of this stuff, you know, and I'm deliberately trying to create a different persona than what people are used to in white nationalism,
right?
For a number of reasons. We got to draw in some more of the northern... Like, look, you're from New Jersey.
Right.
You're not a southern guy.
That's right.
I'm not a southern guy either. Wolzek's not a southern guy. You see, a lot of the most talented people are not southerners.
Right.
So, just get as much gear as you can, and if people want to build redundant servers, however they want to do it to mirror it, yeah, that's great.
Interesting.
Yep. Yeah, Sabrosa's talking to Jeff.
Okay,
so,
you know what I'm saying is,
control.
It's not really not a matter of cost. It's a matter of just fucking finding someone who won't throw us in.
Yeah,
the cost of service isn't much.
No, not at all.
But even if we got to run to hell, it'll be some. But
well,
I
would that's if there is no other option whatsoever.
Yeah, exactly.
Because Hal is, as far as I'm concerned, he's untrustworthy, and, I mean, like, he's only out for Hal.
I basically agree with that.
Yeah.
So
I mean, he's a nice enough guy, but you know.
Hal is Hal.
He's out for
what the hell?
Yeah.
Yep, Hal is Hal.
Yep.
I agree.
I feel bad. I don't listen to much internet radio. So, are we back on?
We are, as soon as I click this little button right here, yes, we're on. Ladies and gentlemen, we had a slight
faux pas.
Yeah, slight server error there, and we're back now, so everything's good, and, you know, medication has been administered, and we have Alex Linder here and James Hawthorne, myself, Stan Sikorsky. It is 3:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So James has already seen the sun come up, and it's on its way over here now. It's over
8:26
here.
8:26 a.m. In the U.K.
Yep.
Yeah. So you guys are 6 a.m. there. You're like 6:30 a.m. there.
Yep.
No, it's 8:26.
That's right. You guys are 6 hours ahead of us here.
And we have somebody
in
calling.
In the middle of the country, 5 hours ahead of Stan.
We have somebody calling, so as soon as I can snag them, I'll bring them in. If that's cool with you, gentlemen.
That's fine. Bring it on.
And find out what they want to discuss.
I just want to
go on with our subjects as well.
I just like to make the point to everyone who's listening, not only in the USA, but also in the UK and Europe and Australia and New Zealand. You see how powerful we are right now on the web, Vanguard News Network Broadcasting. We need your support. We need your financial donations to us to help us grow this network, to build a network. Because you know what? No one is talking about the Jew. But
me
and you.
Yeah. Because we are the good guys.
We are the good guys. We are.
Absolutely. No doubt about it.
I can't think of a better pound or a better euro or a better dollar or a better Australian dollar or a better New Zealand dollar than people involved. People involved in our struggle that will give us to the greatest network that is being created by Alex himself and
well, Stan's created the broadcasting.
Yeah,
section,
Stan too. Stan's a hero in the broadcasting network.
That's what you know. We are attempting to locate men of good character and bring them together for a political mission, and a large portion of that mission at this point in time is building. Media, particularly broadcast media, audio and video, as the net opens up and even grandpa and grandma get DSL or cable enough so they can download the high bandwidth stuff. So that's where it's all headed. We see the Google and the YouTube. We see what's going on. We have to be at the forefront. The German nationalists were very much at the forefront of technology, as were the Jews who plagued them continue to plague the rest of us. So we must be better organized than the Jews and more advanced than they are in technology. And that's a tall order. But that's where the bar is set.
The internet has gave us the golden egg. I mean, it really has gave us the opportunity to broadcast globally.
Exactly. We get across our message globally, and then we turn it into action and reality locally through these development of these blogs. And like I said before, see what I'm doing at Kirksville, and there's other people doing local blogs. We can help you get one set up if you want to jujitsu your own local media by reporting what's going on, attracting people, perhaps even potentially attracting advertisers since they care about eyeballs and are less likely to be subject to Jew pressure. They can't blot out 50,000 points of light, so to speak.
No.
There are 50,000 blogs out there covering all these small towns. I mean, there's no way they can shut them all down. And you can rally people to your side and find out the people in your town who don't want to go down with the New World Order ship.
And here's a great opportunity for every white nationalist in all our Aryan lands who's been smeared by that slimy journalist at the local paper to stick
strike
it to
back, yeah.
Strike back and, you know, build the power against this little, these little people.
they don't, if they don't care about spelling words correctly or getting facts right or even quotations correct,
yeah,
which one might think of for legal reasons alone they would, this is your way to get back at them. I mean, I can, if they misspell words consistently, once in a while it might be a typo, but they do it all the time in Kirksville
yeah.
Daily Express. So
yeah.
rub their faces in it. Shame
yeah.
them into becoming better journalists.
That's yeah.
it.
And you know what? There's so little news that's actually covered that you should be able to scoop them on a lot of things.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I mean, they only published a tiny portion. If they're worried about inflammatory stuff, well, they're then there's lots of stuff they aren't going to publish, and they're not going to publish even the stuff they do publish. They're not going to publish the most interesting aspects of, and that's what you can do. I mean, if you can write, you can be a journalist. There's no particular credentials. Just make something interesting and verify your facts. Don't accuse people of things that you don't know. For example, I'm not absolutely stating that this Roderick High is black, and I'm saying allegedly he raped these. I'm not stating it for a fact, but I'm giving the reader the context of interracial rape and the usual context that the controlled papers, with their fear of being inflammatory and saying anything semitically incorrect, never will give the reader. So that I give you actual useful information. That's what media ideally is supposed to do. It's not just supposed to be a way to rake in money from advertisers and provide a little pablum to keep old people happy. It's supposed to be aggressive and cover stuff. That's what we're going to do. And we got the global thing with VNN and through what you're hearing here, and we got the local stuff with these, the local blogs, where it becomes real. So white people worldwide, all over this mud ball or blue marble, can tune in and understand what's going on, and understand that whether you're in Australia listening to this, or you're in England, or you're in Germany, or Russia, or France, there's a common problem facing us, and it comes from a common group of people. And there are common ways to fight back. And it's a war in our race. We need to breed, and we need to understand, and to create a strain of white people that is capable of responding to those who would treat us hostily and destroy us and claim that we don't exist. So, that's what I have to say on that for right now.
Right.
But
yeah,
they're.
I believe that Alex is quite correct. I mean, this blog tied to your local paper is so powerful to shame these journalists who for years could not only smear our organizations, but also hide facts about black and white crime.
Mm-hmm.
In England, it would be Pakistani on white people or Indian white people.
Mm-hmm.
They always portray, you know, if a white person is frustrated and takes his frustration out on a black person or a Pakistani or Indian, it's front page news on the BBC.
Sure.
Yeah. If a nigger or a Paki or a frickin' Indian attacks and rapes and kills a white teenager, you don't hear nothing.
Yeah, and that's exactly how it is here too. And that bespeaks the global nature of the problem. It's not like the media. As we document in the Lefkow case, it doesn't matter where you go. You know, you can go literally. We went up to Nome, Alaska's paper, down to Miami's paper, to San Diego's paper, to, what was it, Augusta or Bangor, Maine's paper, the four points in the U.S. most distant, and they use exactly the same terminology. So we have the illusion of a free and diverse press, but the reality is it pushes an agenda, and that agenda is the same.
Yeah.
Because you see, the students who go into journalism, it used to be a craft. It used to be considered a craft, and the writers were essentially, a lot of them were drunks or bums. It was not a respected profession. Yet, when that was the case, you actually had good writers, and they were much freer than they are today to tell you actual stories.
Mm.
Say 100 years ago. Well, today, no. Your journalists typically have an advanced degree either in journalism, a 4-year degree in journalism, or they have a master's. 4-degree in journalism plus a master's in social science or something, and it's considered more of a profession, even though technically it is not a profession.
Right.
And they come in and they know the agenda, and they've been thoroughly schooled to, and they're basically taught the framework, and that every story is interpreted in one specified way, and your job is to become good at doing that.
Hello?
Hey, we have a caller?
Yes.
Hello? Yes, welcome to...
What's your flag, caller?
Excuse me?
Welcome to Vanguard News Network.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. It's Pacific Standard Time. It's 10:35 a.m. right now.
Ah.
Haven't been up this late for a week. And of course, I don't have to get up tomorrow morning, but...
Very good.
You were talking about journalists, and I was thinking of Ken Kesey, and the so-called founder of the hippie movement, drug movement, graduate student at Stanford,
sure.
And creative writing. He was a creative writing, but anyway, I met him 5 or 6 times in Eugene and Springfield, Oregon. His family, his sisters involved in a called the Springfield Creamery. They had a organic and yogurt and dairy products business, which it still exists in Springfield, Oregon. But before he died, his son was, I'm going to get to the relevance of what you're talking to in just one quick second. His son died in the 80s, coming back on a black, they went to a sporting event, and those old regular big, stretch Dodge vans, they weren't reinforced. And so it slid off an embankment and killed his son that he was very close with when he was a student at the University of Oregon.
Hmm.
And so Ken Kesey was broken up about that, and he gave them a bunch of money and insisted they only travel in these vans that could roll over and not bust up. And before he died, I talked to him a few times. He's a big guy, and I don't know if a lot of people know this, but he had denounced, by 1966, he had denounced LSD as part of a government experiment at a VA hospital and all this.
Hey, let me interrupt you for just a second. This is, you're talking about Ken Kesey, who's the author of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. That's where people would know him. And he was from Oregon originally?
Yes, born and raised.
Okay, yeah. I knew it was from the Northwest.
He also wrote Sometimes a Great Notion.
Uh-huh.
I think that's the title of it. It was a movie with Richard Jekyll and some other people. Huh?
Yeah, I haven't seen that, but I know that he did.
He wrote the book, but it has some famous... Henry Fonda was in it. It was filmed outside of Florence, Oregon, on the coast. It was about a logging family.
Mm-hmm.
It was done back in the early 60s, Sometimes a Great Notion. It's actually a good movie.
Uh-huh. And Kesey formed the, what was it, the Merry Pranksters, and they...
Merry Pranksters. They had a bus, they wore outrageous, they put on street theater, did psychedelic drugs, but his getting into these drugs was part of like the Unabomber guy. The Unabomber guy was at the University of Michigan or somewhere up there, and he did excessive pure LSD that it took a week for him to come down. But Ken Kesey, by 1966, I know this for a fact. I read it, and he told me to my face that he had denounced the psychotropic drugs as a real negative, but it was too late to stop it. My point is, the reason I'm calling is that he was in front of the Eugene Register Guard newspaper, that little bastard newspaper, actually a big one. I mean, it's supposed to be the point is they said some things about him. This is after he gave a bunch of money and raised money for that Marxist asinine school called the University of Oregon that had those special buses. Rather than get into what they said about him, they said something that was a lie. And they had innuendo that, well, I'll say what it was. There was some party where a bunch of people, I don't want to say because I'm not sure if I can remember for sure who they were, but they were some prominent people. There was supposed to be some cocaine at the party, and they tried to, through innuendo, because he had gone there, that he was using coke, and he was very upset that they didn't retract an article or something like that. But anyway, he was standing out in front of the newspaper for days with a sign by himself And so that's how I first, I'd seen him before, but that's how I talked about it. The point is, he was really, before he died, his untimely death, I mean, it was before the internet, and I believe if he was alive today, he would have been a fan of VNN and Alex, you. He would have been a friend of yours, and he might have been writing on VNN. I really believe that. It's hard for anybody to believe. But he would have really been a pal of yours.
I urge people to read One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. It's quite an interesting book as well as a pretty good movie. And I know one of my relatives graduated from...
They had the Jews!
They had Kansas City as a... He spoke at CMC at one of their graduations. I gather he was fairly funny and pretty profane guy,
yeah.
But which is probably just what they need. They're kind of a nest of neocons there. That's one of the schools that was contiguous to Pomona where I went. But the theme of the cuckoo's nest was kind of, you remember the amazement McMurphy felt when he realized all his fellows were in there voluntarily. And,
yes.
And how does that relate to where we are in America? We are in this situation voluntarily. We don't have to put up with these goddamn kike nurse ratchets, you know, force feeding us drugs to keep our libido, our lust, our love of life, and our freedom under control.
Mm-hmm.
People are afraid because we have a system now where somebody will complain if you hand out, and there are people in communities that will go, never mind about the newspaper that DNN puts out. There are people that have gone to the police over mild-mannered milk toast American Renaissance. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, this is how insane it is. But the last thing I want to say about Ken Kesey is that he was the last time I spoke to him, he is G wise.
Uh huh.
He was really pissed off about getting ripped off on the book. I mean, when the movie came out back in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, I think it was 76. I can't remember the year. But whenever it came out, he was, like, boycotting the freaking movie because he said Douglas, what's his name, that actor in the streets of San Francisco, that son of a bitch, what's his name?
I'm not sure.
Douglas.
Michael Douglas.
Yeah, son of Kirk Douglas.
Michael Douglas.
Yeah, he was really pissed off at Douglas, you know.
And Douglas is a Jew, we should say, in case people don't know. What was his dad? His dad wrote some book with a bunch of lurid sexual tales about all the women fucked.
Some white woman getting over on her, whatnot, the hatred, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
if I can interrupt here, Kirk Douglas' real name is Isidore Dembski.
God damn, you can't get two names farther pulled apart than that.
Well, anyway, my main point is about Kesey is that he really was a good family man. I think he, at the end of his life, understood how we had really been screwed over, and it was by 66, very few people know, and I wouldn't have known if I hadn't talked to him, that he said that any curative powers for LSD for general population was temporary, and, I can't remember what he said, delusional, whatever. He said it was all BS, you know, hype. He said it wasn't a good thing.
Mm-mm. Well, you know how the kikes turn things. I mean, there was a sense when some of the original people got up, and this is what I've heard from people who were there, that basically there was a brief opening from what they felt was some of the repressive nature of the 50s. There was a brief opening in San Francisco, but quickly the copycats, wannabes, fashion-type people came in, and it turned into a whole mass-manufactured phenomenon within about 2 years, maybe.
Right.
And it's still like that today. Nothing. That's one of the effects of global media is nothing can really develop and evolve, and you see that in music. That's part of the problem, is the minute anybody shows any talent, someone seizes them and shoots them ahead, but so they can't really develop. So you got to... People have to kind of separate themselves. Maybe you play in that garage band for 5 years until you actually have something that's worth doing.
Right.
Don't go out too early, and don't get sucked into a bad system.
Yeah,
worry about the art.
I had a,
not the Commerce.
About San Francisco, I had a friend who died 3 years ago at age 67. He's born and raised in San Francisco. He's a longshoreman that transferred to Oregon, and his father was a longshoreman and was involved in that big strike in the 30s, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And he said when he grew up in San Francisco, it was really a great place for, to be a kid, and there wasn't those skyways and highways and savages running all over. And by the way, that movie with by Alfred Hitchcock called Vertigo, if
yes.
anybody hasn't seen that movie, if you see it on a DVD, you can really look at the streets, how they looked in 1955, 56, and all the white people, because they used a lot of street shots and the local area, and you see how clean the streets were. I imagine it was a really nice place in the 50s. And that's what he said. He had, two children, and by 1970, he said that he had to take his family and flee to Coos Bay, Oregon. He said that he hated to leave where his, family and his dad and his brothers were, but he said he didn't want his kids being around that crap anymore, and he literally packed up overnight and left. This
yeah.
is what's happened to our country. Open borders, savagery, Hollywood. It's not a matter of being right wing or left wing. It's a matter of, I want to say one more thing there's people now, if you're delivery, I tell friends of mine that say it's no good to talk to people. All you do is make enemies or this or that. I say that you need to be intuitive, sensitive. And when you have somebody that's curious, I think Jeff Beck has said this, that we need to approach every person as an individual sale almost. That you can just give them one little tidbit or one little article or one little lead, because we are in a war, and it's our duty to wake up as many people as we can, almost as a religious zealot, but in a calm, friendly way and without causing many. I think that people are open. Things are so serious in the world and in the country now. I think that people listen now that 10 years ago, even 6 years ago, they laugh in their face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they definitely. I've got a lot of purchase on the why do we support Israel angle. There's a lot less support of Israel than the people at Fox News and even the rest of the TV media would have you believe.
Oh, yeah.
And there's also a widespread recognition that having a bunch of Mexicans here is a very bad news.
Yeah. I don't even want to talk about the Mexican thing, because then I might get angry. But I listen to NPR about a week ago in the morning, and I only listen to it like once or once, twice, or three times a month. It's just so obnoxious, dual citizen, and it's just so bad. And that Michael Savage, I can only listen to him maybe one time a week for a few minutes to listen to what he's saying, and it's the same old thing. His rant is, he's calling us the fifth columnist. He's calling us liberals and Nazis at the same time. I mean, you want to talk about a split personality. They can't make up their mind whether we're liberals or Nazis or whatnot. So the descendants of people who sacrificed in all these frickin' filthy wars they got us into, World War One, Two, Korea, we lost 54,000 white boys in about 22 months and lost a bunch of guys from England, Australia, Canada, and New Zealand, died in that filthy war where they stormed across the 38th parallel in 1950. I truly believe from all that I've read, it was to keep MacArthur out of the White House from 52 from cleaning out that regime. But really, that whole war and all those guys that are forgotten now that nobody cares about, that whole thing was because of Roosevelt and the Jews supporting Stalin, that whole damn creation of the Soviet Union. And we're suffering directly now that we can't open our mouths around the country or we can, you can get you can be in trouble, you can be assaulted, you can get fired from your job. This is what we get for fighting that stupid tragic World War II where the Japanese surrender on the deck of the battleship Missouri. By the way, Alex, I'm sure you know this, but a lot of people are shocked, and this information won't buy us a cup of coffee in the morning. But the Japanese, when they sign that surrender document on the deck of the battleship Missouri in Tokyo Bay, they signed the United Nations document, and that's before the UN was built in New York City in 1948. I mean, you know that, don't you?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, you didn't know that?
I've never seen anything about that.
Oh yeah, they didn't sign any surrender to the United States of America. That was a United Nations action. I mean, that I'm blown away by reading that.
Mm-hmm. Who's the? If I could interrupt here, you mentioned a guy called Savage, and I've heard his name on
VN. Yeah, Michael Ween Savage.
Michael Savage. Now, is Michael Savage a Jew?
Yes.
Name is Michael Wiener, and he's from the Bronx, New York, where his dad was an antique dealer. And
okay.
He plays out like the conservative, and he's if you want to see what an ugly a Kabbalist is, you listen to him and you've got it straight.
I remember listening to a Vanguard News Network broadcasting promo about that lying Jew bastard Michael Savage. That really, I thought, who?
I haven't heard that.
It being from England, I thought, who is this Michael Savage?
He's a screaming, obnoxious Jew.
Yeah,
he has
an extremely strong accent that people in the U.S., James, would associate with Jews. I mean, I'm not all. I'm sure there's plenty of New Yorkers who have that accent who aren't Jews, but the rest of us completely associate that with obnoxious East Coast Jew.
Yeah.
Even coming out of, I think, San Francisco. But he's just he's got a book on their shelves. He's another one of these who's... See, Jews take all sides. They realize, like, oh, the people buying this conservative shit... Well, as long as the conservatism is really neoconservatism, which is really liberalism, which is really the Jewish agenda on race and everything else, hell, we'll sell him that too. You know, the Jew will put on whatever mask he needs to.
Do you know what? I believe his name is Michael Allen Wiener.
That's right.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, his name's Wiener.
Yes, it is.
Original name, but he chooses to go as Savage.
Savage Wiener.
Yeah, a goy name. He uses the goy name. Yeah. Goy
Savage.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I sure am glad that gentlemen have had this opportunity to say something positive about another guy that's misrepresented, like King Kesey.
Sure.
It was really, I think, a real decent. Every time I met him. He just happened to be doing something where no one else was around. He could talk to me, and he was. I got the feeling he was a Jewish bastard. Besides a decent guy, he was a good man.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thanks for calling.
Okay, hang in there and be careful.
Keep listening. Call again.
Okay. Bye.
I just want to make a point here. I just got a call from the.
Well, it seems Skype just totally blew me off, and I will get the guys back.
We there? We hearing Stan?
I think Stan's gone, Alex.
Stanley?
I think Stan has...
Where are you, Stanley?
I'm here. I forgot
He's here.
To plug in my microphone, so that means that for 2.5 minutes I was talking to nobody.
I thought
it was quality stuff, wasn't it?
Oh, it was great.
I thought Stan had gone to that great Jewish...
Stanley, where are you? Where are you?
Stanley, can you hear
Stanley,
me?
Stanley, can you hear me?
I think Stan had gone to that great Jewish extermination camp in the sky.
Nope.
Stan was soliloquizing off camera.
I was severely inebriated in my own vacuum of.
Yeah, violence. There's nothing like that when you're talking and all of a sudden.
That's yourself.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's unplugged.
Oh,
crap. But it's 4:19 a.m. here in New Jersey. We have Alex Linder and James Hawthorne and whoever calls in, 609-910-1418 or SSKIIT. Call us.
9:18 a.m. in the U.K.
9:18. Ouch. What's for breakfast?
Well, normal. It'll be two eggs. It'll be three sausages. Mm. Eight beans. Three rushes of bacon, and a good steaming hot cup of tea.
Mm. No scones.
And hang on a minute. There's more to come. Four rushes of toast with butter.
Mm.
That's the traditional English breakfast.
That sounds great.
Does sound good.
Yep, I think
fried up in your face, more or less. More or less.
Yeah, I remember back over Thanksgiving, Bev and her husband from Sussex, I believe, were visiting.
Uh-huh.
We were out in State College, and Bev did all the cooking, and we had some wonderful food. It was just fantastic.
Do you guys do any of that frying, frying Mars bars or something?
No.
I
have to know the legend, Alex.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I swear someone wrote me that they were deep frying some of those, like, chocolate bars, some kind of chocolate bar.
That's an urban legend, though.
I'm disappointed.
I freeze those. I freeze Twinkies. I love frozen Twinkies. They're the ultimate space food.
I'll hear something from the Mars bar. The Mars company in England just had the toffee-colored Mars chocolates, but now they've, pardon the thing here, they've diversified into Mars bars, ice cream, and the whole thing,
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I had a wonderful breakfast of Oreo double stuffs and coffee at the hospital this morning. Or yesterday morning, I should say.
That's so healthy. Stan, that's so healthy.
I know. I know. I wonder why I can stay up 24 hours a day. I'm pure sugar.
Yeah.
But
the English breakfast is... it's not really healthy for you, by the way. I mean, it's full of grease and fried. It's
eggs
fried.
Are healthy. Eggs are good for you.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, but I mean, it's fried eggs, and full of cholesterol. It's fried bacon, fried sausage, beans, beans, and four rashes of toast, and a good mug of English tea. That's your English breakfast.
I like bacon. I think that sounds pretty good to me.
Mm-hmm.
The bacon in the States is horrible, by the way.
Is it?
Oh, it's horrible. It's fried and it's curly. But we have, it's called Danish bacon, and it's there's a lot more pork in it, which scares the Jews off. And
right on.
So, it's a good pork bacon.
Well, that's, I never... Well, I understand it, but I mean, how does it happen that, they put out a breakfast sandwich that's a bagel, egg, cheese, and some sort of ham product?
I don't know.
At McDonald's or Burger King or one of those, or all of those, actually. They all have a competition going.
The bagel is like...
It's kosher. Well,
yeah, the bagel comes from the Jew.
Yeah. And then they smother all this goyim food on it.
I avoid that stuff. We got two McDonald's in town.
Two?
Three tattoo parlors, three Mexican restaurants, about 16 dollar stores, and I'm barely exaggerating, and about six usury shops, where you get a up to $500 loan for about 80% interest.
Oh yeah, right.
That's what small town America economy has come to.
Yeah.
But people in the Midwest like to eat.
Oh yeah.
That's an understatement of the year.
Have you ever seen that show Tom Goes to the Mayor?
Seen what?
that it's a cartoon, Tom Goes to the Mayor. It's on Adult Swim.
No, I never heard of it. I think you're making it up, Stan.
No, I'm not. You can go to YouTube.
I think you are.
You can go to YouTube.
YouTube?
And see it. Yep.
Yeah?
That and Squidbillies.
How does that work that YouTube is able to show, like, they show clips from, like, The Daily Show?
Yeah.
How are they able to get away with doing that?
It depends, because some of them are actually planted there by the shows themselves as promos.
I think I saw they were getting sued by somebody.
They are. They're getting sued by a guy who...
an independent producer out in L.A., I believe it
was.
Yeah. That's right. I printed that story the other day.
What was this footage, too? It's like some...
Rodney King riots, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Reginald Day.
Yeah, that's what it was.
In. Yeah. And he's suing each post for $1 million apiece. All right, who exploded?
Mm-hmm. I can see where if you were independent, you wouldn't want someone using your stuff.
Oh, sure.
Where it wouldn't be promotion, it'd be stealing. The most concern I've gotten about copyright is political cartoons. Actually, kind of like that Ted Rahl one that I posted up there. I don't know how recent that is, but
yeah.
That's if anybody complains, that's the type of person that complains.
Yeah, right.
When you can say rightly so to some extent. Because that's their business, but generally people see stuff more as promotion than anything.
Yeah, well, that's what I do. I mean, I have three videos up there, three different bands I've been in. And as a matter of fact, Burns You Burn commented on the Smoke video, the one with the 911 footage and all that.
I like that one.
Yeah.
Just need to rewrite the lyrics, right? To
yeah, I want to make them a little more Jew-wise, because right now they focus kind of a glancing blow at the Jew, but more corporate, you know, and money-driven. You know, it's not actually pointing the finger directly at the Heeb. So I want to reshape the lyrics to do that a little more.
Every time you see something like that, it looks cool. It's always got that leftist crap in it. Where
it's
all about oil and corporations.
Yeah.
Hey man, it's hard to make money. I mean, corporations are trying to make money. It's really not that easy. They're busy doing that. It's not these people. It amazes me that they can't see that government has the easy time of it. Government's the one that has guaranteed income.
Right.
Corporations don't have guaranteed income.
That's right.
They have to hustle their ass to make enough money to stay alive.
Yep.
They act like they're more powerful than the government. Shit, anybody who's actually started or run a corporation knows that's not true.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, I've done it, and I'm sure you've done it, Stan, and probably many people out there listening have done it themselves. But,
yeah.
I'm adding some letters to 812. I finished with 811, and I want to say that I'm going through my background files, so I'm still... I just dug up one here from John Baildon, who I believe is an English poet. I published some of his stuff on BNN, and he wrote a letter in response to a thing I wrote about football, that is soccer to us Americans.
Right.
So that's going in there. But, yeah.
Good. Excellent.
By the way, don't anyone feel intimidated if your letter is hostile or picks fault or whatever. It's still going to be published.
Right.
So we like criticism.
Yeah.
We try to get better, you know. We're not old hands at doing radio or anything like that, but we get a lot of enjoyment, and I think we followed a successful policy with Goyfire of less commercials, fewer commercials, and more talk.
Absolutely.
And we have enough time to really get into this stuff. You know, that's one problem with corporate radio. Even if you get somebody good with mainstream stuff, they're always interrupted, and they can never really get going.
Right.
And that's what I find more frustrating. And syndicated columns. They end where they ought to begin, and that's partly due to the forum, where they get 700 words and then they got to quit.
Yep.
So they never deal with the why, so you're perpetually coitus interruptus.
That's right.
You know?
Yep.
And that's what's great about the internet world is infinite space.
That's it.
So we can run letter scrolls 100 miles long, and we will. Oh, don't think we won't.
That's why I applaud Stan for the free talk live shows that come up. And, you know, we're here for hours talking about the Jew.
Trying to make them regular.
Yeah, people can call in and, you know, talk to us, and we'll...
Exactly.
You know,
we do encourage people to call in. And we have, we try to produce as much original programming as we can. We try to have new and different people on GoiFire, and so you hear the full range of voices that come from different walks and stations in life,
yep.
But they see the same thing. They see the same thing about the Jew. The Jew, unlike the elephant where everybody feels a different part of him, people who touch the Jew come away with exactly the same impression.
Yep.
You know, when some asshole goes in 50 bars on a pub crawl and gets kicked out of every one for being an asshole, he's the problem.
That's right.
You know, maybe one time, maybe two times, it's the other guy, but after 50 times, it's him. The nature of the Jew is known. The Jew is hated for very good reason. And you listening know that. And you got to wonder to yourself, how come I'm not hearing when I hear a GoiFire on this free talk, how come I'm not hearing that coming out of my TV? Well, the answer is simple.
Yep.
The media are controlled.
That's it.
By people who only allow a certain reflection of reality that looks rather like unreality over the airwaves.
Yep.
So that blondes are dumb, but blacks are smart. Only on TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like we talked about earlier, what the reality about blacks is, you know, raping teenage girls.
That's right.
So,
hey, speaking of listener reaction, I have a few mails here if you'd like to.
Let's read them off and let's discuss them.
Okay.
Let's
this is from Marcus. He says, you made a reference to Mandingo in GoiFire 36. I think that's the name of an African tribe. Some jig writer wrote a novel by that name.
Yeah.
And it was made into a movie in the late 60s, early 70s. It was a Civil War piece in which the Massa was away from the plantation fighting the war, and the horny blonde missus got jungle fever.
Yeah.
They had a black heavyweight boxer, Kenny Norton, play the innocent yet manly slave named Mandingo, who cooled her fever and paid with his life. It was basically an anti-white nigger worship book movie that was so popular during the 60s. There was at least one sequel.
Hey, is James still with us, or what happened? Is he on or off?
I do believe he's here, yes.
I'm here, Alex, yeah.
Okay, I didn't hear you. I was wondering. Well,
I'm being quiet.
Oh, okay. Well, pipe in. I'll talk about Mandingo a little. I was using Mandingo for the aesthetics of it because it rhymes with manganese, and Dick Gregory's claim that manganese in the malt liquor was what was making the niggers violent rather than their own nature. But yeah, Mandingo is a tribe of people, I believe, or a group of tribes in Africa, but it's also, used to refer to the sexually potent slave that all the white women want. You know, in this part of that 70s, part of that 70s as the writer describes, yeah.
Right.
The Mandingo it specifically means like a black buck who's attractive to white women. Yeah, it kind of gets at that feral nature that may be exciting to white women's, but mostly in the mind of the Jew. But there's some reality to it in that you've got white women from Britain, Germany, and America and Canada going down to Jamaica. I just posted, I think it's in Reader Mail 811. There's some big new article about them kind of sex touring down in Jamaica.
Right.
And where these homely white women, the blacks are basically, oh, you're beautiful, and thereby get their tourist dollars in exchange for sex with the Mandingos. But, you know, the facts are that nigger dicks are actually a little bit shorter on average than whites.
Right.
And gee, you know, they don't do that on TV. They very definitely try to emasculate the white male and play up the potency of the Negro. But facts is facts. The white dicks are actually slightly longer on average.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember one promo that I think was for the West Wing. I never watched that kind of shit, those kind of shows. Literally, I've never seen that show once, but I remember a promo, I believe it was for that. It shows a whole bunch of white guys, and they're watching as some black comes out of the shower, and they're all, like, basically totally in awe of this nigger and its magnificent equipment. I mean, this is the kind of joke. The Jews promote this stuff around the clock. It's just another one of their set of memes to emasculate and humiliate white males and to mislead white females.
Right.
So that you see, even, just a second, even this thing in Kirksville where this guy may have statutorily raped, well, this chick may have been his girlfriend that he raped rather than it happening in public.
Right.
Because they see shit like this and they believe it because it comes from every official source. This is very definitely genocidal, and they call it, we do hatred. You know, I'm not out there making promos showing Jews with little bitty thumb dicks standing there open-mouthed in awe at the niggers.
Right.
But they do that to us.
Yep.
Yeah, James, go ahead.
On average, I mean, on average, the white male penis is larger than Mandingo's.
Using
the take on averages, white male penises are larger than blacks. Yet they pull out these guys who walk around like fucking elephants from the jungle, you know.
Yeah.
But average-wise, white males have larger penises than black males do.
That's true. I mean, the fact is there's not a great deal of difference, but whites have slightly longer penises.
Yeah, larger.
But in popular media, brothers be packing. That means you hear that a million times if you watch TV. I mean, anything where they think they can exaggerate that the nigger has some advantage over whites, but even if they have to make it up, they just promote it around the clock.
And
niggers are filthy, nasty beasts.
And the real thing is, and they're showing these white Aryan girls looking for Mandingo.
Sure.
It's so sick.
Yeah.
They do that, yeah.
And you know where the word Mandingo comes from? It comes from, in fact, English colonialism. It comes to the part where, how can I phrase this? It comes to the point where when England and Great Britain were, they had this great empire in the world, and the person who ran the household was definitely a Negro. He ran the house, but he ran the house in charge of the white women when the white guy was off doing something for the colonial power, and he'd say to the white woman, "Be careful, the Mandingo will get you." And that's where it comes from.
That's
the
funny.
The man who is not like me, I am here serving you. The Mandingo being the African man looking for the white or the, you know. That's where it comes from.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking up on Wikipedia. They say Mandingo may mean the Mandinka people of West Africa. Mandingo, a book in 1957 and a movie in 1975.
Right.
And then there's also some Mandingo porn star, male African American porn star.
Now I've heard that. I heard that in my high school education, and I said, "Well, where does the word Mandingo come from?" And she said, "It was the house servant who was black would tell, or when the master was gone, either helping the colonial powers." Vis-a-vis Britain, and you know, but he would turn around to the woman and say, "Be careful, don't step out on your own because the Mandingo will get you." So the Mandingo being the savage African beast in the jungle.
Right.
And who can believe Wikipedia anyway?
I can't believe when I read the shit about me.
Yeah, right?
I'm going, who is this bastard? You got to be strung up. But, it's amazing. You Google your own name and you know, 99% of it's just fucking lies.
It's all lies.
That one person or another made up. But there are tribes named Mandinka. I know that's true. What you're saying is
the Mandinka tribe,
true.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a bunch of...
Yeah, there are tribes called the Mandinka, but I'm saying the phrase... I forgot what the phrase was now.
Mandingo.
Mandingo means don't you white girls go out into the jungle or you're going to get some real Mandingo.
Yeah. But see, I'm wondering, but now they have made a book and a film from it. I'm wondering how much that nigger sexual potency was built into the original book. But I actually thought there might be some of that in Roots too, but Roots is the same theme, but I don't know if they use that word. But over here, I'd associate it with that 70s type. When niggers started within 10 years after civil rights, they went beyond, you know, in the 60s when they would promote niggers, they would be very, very perfect and very formal and very determined contrast to the whites. So to Sir with Love, you know, actually that was set in Britain, I believe, a film about a nigger teaching these white ruffian inner city kids. I mean, what could be more ridiculous than that? And he's all very formal. And then to Sir with Guess Who Came to Dinner, where she brings home a nigger doctor to meet her racist parents, and yeah. that's what they did. Another one was the Heat of the Night by I think Norman Jewison did that, and that's about a honorable northern nigger detective who has to work with these southern racists to solve a crime. So that's how they did it in the 60s, but in the 70s, then they got back to blacks as these super potent either Shaft types in the inner city or Mandingo types from Africa with Roots and this Mandingo, I'm guessing, although I haven't seen all of Roots, and I don't think I've seen Mandingo at all, but yeah, the common parlance today, that's what Mandingo means, is sexual potency of these buck nigger males harking from Africa.
Exactly, and probably that's what this guy said. Well, if you want a good, just be careful, because that Mandingo there will set you up.
It does kind of make me wonder. You know, dingoes. There's no dingoes in Africa, I don't think, because dingoes are Australian for wild dogs. But
wild dogs.
So the dingoes will get your babies.
Well, here, Mandingo, wild man.
Yeah.
Wild man, Mandingo, wild man.
Yeah, sexually potent, feral, original
yeah.
type man who hasn't been feminized by the city and.
Yeah, here she has in colonial times in Africa, and her husband has deserted her because he's too busy with colonial affairs. Here's the houseman telling her, "Go out and have Mandingo." Go on, Mandingo, and you'll have a good old time. You know, even in those times, you know, miscegenation was going on.
Yep.
I'm trying. Yeah. Well, like I said, check that. Check the 11th letters for August 11th, and I think I added that post there on the white women going to Jamaica on sex tours. Anyway, we got any other letters, Stan?
Sure, we got plenty.
All right, let's go through them.
Let's see. This is from.
Hey, are you saving this for future taping, or?
Actually, I'm taping it as we're going, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm saying that people can rehear when we're discussing these letters, because they like the
WHW says, "Hi, Alex and friends. I thought you might be interested in doing a spot on Goyfire about the SPPNA, Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America. This is a new world order plan to erase the borders of North America via NAFTA. They, the CFR, Bilderbergers, Trilateralists, Bush, and others want to destroy the nation with the deception of free trade and security. Google SPPNA and you will find all the details. This is why they drag their feet on border security. Thanks." So it's not really a question, it's more of an informative
statement.
Yeah.
A statement.
Well, yeah, I don't know too much about that, other than I've started to hear about the Amero as a counterpart to the Euro, and of course they're building a 35 that runs north and south from Canada to Mexico, and they're letting Mexican truckers in. We've discussed all that, but it's very clear they're mixing the populations, and they're going to present it as a fait accompli to anybody who doesn't like it, and it's going to lower the standard of living for everybody but the top thousandth of 1%.
Right.
Because ordinary whites are going to be forced to live among Mexicans. That's the future we're fighting. We don't want to be blended with niggers and Mexicans. They stink.
Right. Yep. Or Canadians.
VNN has the best DVD ever produced called The Line in the Sand.
Mm-hmm.
And that shows how they've trashed the border, literally.
Mm-hmm.
Disgusting. There's so many of them coming over. You would think, how can you trash a desert? But they can't.
Yep.
Dirty diapers, discarded clothes, just
piles of
detritus of these shit people coming in here that we have to pay for.
Mm-hmm.
It really enrages you. And there wasn't one congressman with enough balls to use that movie. In fact, the one most famous for opposing the invasion specifically distanced himself from it because of the racial appeal that is made by me in it. And the racial explanation about the Jewish pressure given by McDonald.
Right.
Course, which is the centerpiece of the movie.
Yep.
And it's pitiful. That shows how far we've fallen.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
While we've got 150,000 troops over in Iraq.
Yeah.
Messing that place up.
Yep. And 100 dying a day.
Yep. Well, they're just Iraqis. They're not Jews or Americans. So.
Yeah. Let's see. Settler writes in. Says, "You asked for some feedback regarding Goyfire, so here it is. More. The talk radio part of the new media is completely broken right now, and alternatives to the Limbaugh Hannity Jew ass kissers are desperately needed. It continues to amaze me to see how almost all of the conservative talk show hosts were and are so eager and willing to be used by the Jew neocons. I mean, does Sean Hannity really believe that Joe Lieberman supports the war in Iraq because he is a patriot? If so, he's got to be one of the dumbest motherfuckers on the planet.
They're punks.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'd also like to see the shows released on a regular basis, say at least once a week, preferably on a Friday night or Saturday morning, to give our people something to look forward to after a long week of dealing with the BS and the Qua.
Well, yeah, okay. Go ahead.
As to content, it's all excellent, but if I may offer a suggestion here, I'd like to see a future show address the Jew tax, i.e. additional price we pay on every gallon of gas for letting the Jews control our government, particularly our Middle East policy. From the first oil embargo, which was caused by our support for Israel during the 73 Yom Kippur War, to the present debacle in Iraq, which is keeping their crude production level way below what it should be, Jew control means that we're digging deeper into our pockets with every passing day. The Goyim need to know that gasoline could be much cheaper if they'd start grabbing these Israeli lobbyists by the throat. Might be a good way to show them that white nationalism would have a very positive effect on their lives. In fact, I'd like to see a political party named the White Freedom Cheap Gas Party on the ballot. Just the words cheap gas would probably garner more votes than the Patriotards are getting with their Constitution Party. Which demonstrates, by the way, how much the Lemmings give a shit about the Constitution. The fact that a party explicitly named after the Constitution gets about 1% or 2% of the vote suggests to me that we need to tailor our message to issues that they can see having a daily impact on their lives, like high fuel prices. In closing, I want to say thanks for all you... Wait a minute. I just want to say thanks to all of you for your truly courageous efforts. I'll be reading and listening, and I'll be making some financial contributions in the near future as soon as I get some old debt problems squared away. Take care.
Excellent. Excellent. I'm glad to hear that you're getting your debt problem settled away. That is job one for anyone who wants to play in politics.
Yep.
You've got to get out of debt by any means necessary, up to and including bankruptcy if you're really hard down. Otherwise, you're yoked to it. There's nothing you can do to get away from it, but you've got to. You've got to do it by cutting back your consumption.
That's right.
And you simply don't have, like, now I now have cable again after a couple of years of not having TV, but at the same time I've given up driving for fun, which is my one little sort of hobby. And of course with kids you don't have that much time, but the reader made all the points that he wants us to make, and it's excellent. And I had either forgotten or not known that apparently they slapped a tax on gas back when we were helping the Israelis win one of their wars in the 70s. And so that each gallon of gas you buy from the feds, you're paying about a half dollar in tax on.
Right.
And that is huge.
Mm-hmm.
So each month you may be spending $50 to subsidize the government that you don't want to pay, and you have no way around it. So except driving less. If you drive, you don't have an option other than to use some kind of fuel. So don't drive so much. I've cut back to, hell, I got rid of, we had two. We're down to one car. And it's a pretty, it gets pretty good mileage, but you know, it turns out I didn't even really need the other car. I kind of enjoyed it. It was a nice big Buick, but don't really need it. And just don't drive now. How can you drive when it's $3 a gallon? It just eats up money.
Yeah.
So yeah, the reader makes a lot of excellent points about, us.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't realize that. I don't think the average person realizes how much of each gallon of gas comes out through taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And we also ran an article recently, who wrote it? I think Curtis Maynard wrote it, about proven oil reserves that are not being used right now that are cost efficient at the price gas is at currently.
Right.
And I don't know all the science and all that, but I read a long article about ethanol production recently, and apparently that is getting much closer to being useful. They've had some trouble breaking down the cellulose over the last couple of decades to make it truly cost efficient, but the point there is it's a renewable supply,
right,
because it can be made out of all kinds of things, including corn stalk and all kinds of plant materials. And the Germans made lots of advances during World War II in turning synthetic, creating synthetic fuels. And I don't know. There's lots of people out there, you know, they want to get the consumers used to paying $3 per gallon. I have no doubt. I mean, what drives the Kyoto is not science but politics. And the politics is we don't want people to enjoy a first world living standards. We want to prevent them from traveling around, which is a way of denying us freedom. When they've turned, you know, the price of maybe taking a 5,000-mile trip, as I have in the past out west, well, in the years past that might cost $300 to $400 in fuel, but now it's going to be more like $800 if I were to do that. So I'm not going to do it this year. I'm going to take one little trip next week, but you know, I'm not going to go on a multi-week tour of the West, partly because of fuel, and that's what they want. They don't want anything that extends your freedom and ability. The government is against,
right,
and it will always come in a veiled moral appeal that, oh, we have to stop these greenhouse. They haven't proved a damn thing about greenhouse stuff. That's a bunch of bullshit. Peak oil is also a bunch of bullshit. I know there are people who disagree, but the fact is this comes from the same sources who lie about everything.
Uh-huh.
And Maynard points out all kinds of evidence that they can get oil from shale, they can create synthetic fuels, they can create ethanol out of plant parts, and they're getting better at it all the time. And as oil rises, you get to a point. There are plenty of things that cannot be done at a certain point in time because it's not profitable. But if the most accessible oil begins to drain out, then there is less accessible oil, and there can be new technologies developed as it hits a certain price. That's what happens. That's how the market deals with declines or raising prices. You know, substitution.
Right.
You either substitute it or you pay more for it, or you develop new sources. And I have no doubt that's what's happening, and I have no doubt government will try, as it does with everything, to turn it to its advantage,
yep,
and to your disadvantage. And why not, you know, gas is getting, we're starting to run out of oil. We better impose a $2 a gallon, $2 a barrel tax that's going to be paid for you at the pump. Well, pretty soon you'll have it like in Europe where you're paying, you know, $5-6 a gallon. Is that what you want? Government would love to do it. They'd love to slap taxes on everything.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't believe that technology really, technology is likely to become the solution. It's not the problem.
Yeah. Well, in that report, they're talking about the oil shale, the oil sands.
Yeah.
In Canada, and there's,
sure,
a huge reserve under the Rocky Mountains.
Sure.
You know.
They're different.
Like the whole wetlands here in New Jersey. Is,
mm-hmm,
is prime breeding ground for oil reserves. And, I mean, because the decay factor, you know, in the wetlands around here is,
mm-hmm,
just, you know, just constantly replenishing, building layer after layer, you know, with every tide.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you can smell the methane when the tide is low.
Mm-hmm.
It's bubbling up out of the mud. So, I mean,
yeah,
you know, it's here. And the only thing is they just, you know, don't want to go for it.
There's all kinds of things they can figure. Hell, they can, and some of those things, it takes, I gathered with ethanol, they would have to build their own piping network. So it's one of those things that you have to have a great base of support for,
right,
to hit a certain level. So if the price of oil ever goes up high enough, then that will become attractive and they'll switch a good portion of it over to that.
Right.
And, you know, the point is renewable. You got corn. Corn comes up every year.
Yep.
Most of it isn't used, but can be turned into ethanol.
Don't forget the spirit of Aryan people and the inventiveness,
sure,
of our people. Do you know what? In Iceland right now, hydrogen is now outselling gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
They have hydrogen. They have like a dual thing going on right now in Iceland. You have like a gasoline, if you still have your gasoline car, you can gas up. But It's all part of the phone, the gas station. The next thing is your hydrogen. If you have a hydrogen car, you can gas up with hydrogen. Mm-hmm. And I think because of white Aryan genius, we will find ways if oil runs out eventually. I mean, that's why all this stuff about peak oil, especially that people in Britain who are part of a certain nationalist organization, should be putting this crap forward because it's nonsense. White genius finds a way, and it's right now in Iceland, you have dual gas stations, gasoline and hydrogen.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And hydrogen is like unlimited.
Well, the thing is, sure, you can build an engine that will run off of water. Because
what it does
is it just splits the water into its atoms, which are oxygen, which is used for combustion, and hydrogen, which can also be used for combustion.
Now, believe me, I'm not the great expert on this, you know, but I'm saying is that the gasoline engine is easily converted to hydrogen because hydrogen is a liquid format.
Yep.
And Iceland is shown the way. A white rock volcano island is shown the way. So, you know, I
have you ever been over there?
I've never been there, Alex, no.
Me either.
I have contacts there.
Yeah, I've seen some pictures of some of the women from there.
Oh, yeah.
They were impressive.
Mm-hmm.
But, I've never been over there, but they got dual engine. I don't know if they sell this in Britain. They sell some dual gas electric car.
They're trying to push this electric crap, which you would have. I believe someone in America has invented a really low, format, high grade battery where you can. Mm-hmm. Put that in your car. Oh, okay, but the main thing is, how can you convert a gasoline car into, and with the hydrogen thing, it's just a small little tweaks, and it accepts hydrogen.
Yep.
And they're paying people in Iceland to not use gasoline and use hydrogen.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And all hydrogen leaks is like it leaks water out your gas pipe at the end.
Yep.
It's a clean air fuel.
I think that's true of ethanol too. It doesn't pollute at all the way gas does. What I could tell from what I was reading.
I love the pigeon. All these people who are pushing all this. Let's keep gas and let's keep pushing. Let's drill in Anwar in Alaska and let's all do this. If we do not dig deep. Do you know what? I see Jew here.
Yeah.
I do.
Oh, it's a way to control the population.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
By, you control where they travel. I was trying to find the thing here, but I don't see it right off. But it was something I was reading in Discover that was touching on all that. But anyway,
people,
we got it. Yeah.
People who are putting forward all this peak oil crap, it's absolute nonsense.
Yeah, in my opinion, it certainly comes from the same sources that are responsible for a lot of garbage.
Yep.
But we got any other letters, Stan?
Sure do. Whoever33 says, hello. Having hello. Several fellows on the show at once with approximately equal roles is a good idea, better than the usual monologue or one-sided shows. Although Linder overtalks the co-host routinely.
No.
The American lender in his...
Dan, it's only because I'm full of myself.
The American lender in his standard American national insecurity styles himself as German and has added an affected German anti-English theme to his ordinary New World insecurity.
What was that? Read that part again. I didn't hear some of that.
Okay. The American lender... in his standard American national insecurity, styles himself as German and has added an affected German anti-English theme to his ordinary New World insecurity. Linder is afraid of the English, and the reoccurring feel of this fear colors and degrades his political commentary and gravitas.
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 Aye.
He also needs to talk about Arabs, not Muslims, and degenerates, not Christians. Linder does not realize that religions are only rationalizations for expressions of the soul, the instinctive feelings. Finally, I hope that he will stop swearing. Swearing is an expression of frustration and impotence.
Impotence?
Impotence, whatever, yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Well, Arab. I mean, Arab is. I'm talking about Muslims, not Arabs. Arabs are only a subset of Muslims.
Right.
As for go after Christianity because of what Christians do, I don't really care what they believe. I believe it makes strong men weak, and it's primarily appeal is to weak men. But whatever. I go after English stuff. It's more I go after Americans who ape the stuff that the guy talks about in the book Class, and they name all these the love of euphemism over the reality is I don't think that what I'm trying to do is come up with a cultural model we can follow that is different from the one that has power today, and so the people admire different things. And one example I think they can look at is German culture, from what I've seen. And that means more of an emphasis on family and kin than on money.
Mm.
And the trading, commercial stuff, and everybody's competing with everybody else, and they're trying to be cooler than they are. And I do think that some of that comes from England. Definitely, the Hollywood attitude. But, you know, I mean, hell, we have James on here. He's from England. We've helped English people all we can.
Yep. If I can quote about the English press, vis-a-vis the awful Sun, which is owned by Rupert Murdoch, also the London Times, which is owned by Rupert Murdoch, we have the Daily Mail, which is owned by some consortium. We have the Daily Mirror. The Daily Mirror and the Sun are the two tabloids that sell the most in Britain, and Not so much as the Daily Mirror. The Daily Mirror is hooked up with always has been the Labour Party, even in its old socialist times. But even now, as the Labour Party has now traversed socialism to be a centre-left party now under Tony Blair. But the Sun used to be an advent publication newspaper for the Conservative Party. And under Rupert Murdoch. And when Blair came in, Murdoch saw the swinging times of fortune and deserted the Conservative Party and joined Tony Blair. Now, the Sun is like, this is a paper that gives you front-breasted women on page 3 every morning, five days a week, right? Now, the Sun is this evil publication that goes down to the gutter level to Englishness and portrays English people as raving fucking soccer hooligans who is quite prepared to go over there and beat up the Germans. And the Sun does this, and the Sun's allowed to do this. And you know what? If we ever come to power, we're going to ban the Sun, and I'm going to hang all the journalists. because they're fucking scumbags, the fucking lot of them, and they're just instilling this Neanderthal.
Yeah,
they're still instilling this Neanderthal spirit, which is still in our young people.
And the British need to identify with the Germans because they're under threat from the same damn Jews who are controlling their countries and driving them into extinction. Appreciate that.
The one newspaper that's doing this is the English Sun. It's an evil newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
It's an evil, and it's under Rupert Murdoch and all his ilk. And they portray, you know, and they...
Yeah, and that's on the mass end. And on the high end, it's the same, though, because all the neocon publications over here have their counterparts in the Spectator, and they set up this idea of a kind of Anglo-Jewish... mentality and culture versus anything Muslim or German.
Yeah.
And nobody can get a word in edgewise against that except on the internet. And they're killing all of our countries.
Yep.
the same exact type owns all these papers. It's all Jews who own it, and the only people they let talk or write in syndication are people who suck up to the kikes, like the Hannitys and the George Will and the rest of them.
And because Tony Blair has been so good to Rupert Murdoch, Rupert Murdoch said, when you leave, and I'll give you the link for The Sun here, Rupert Murdoch said to Tony Blair, now, you must remember, The Sun used to be a conservative newspaper and supported Margaret Thatcher and supported all the conservative governments, now turned Labour. He turned around to Tony Blair and said, we'll give you a directorship on News Corporation.
Yeah, so that shows you the links there. Yeah, Blair was always hated by U.S. conservatives until the Jews got us to go to war in Iraq, and they brought Blair around, and now all of a sudden he's a great guy. But they're so dumb; they have no principles. They don't know what conservatism is. They just, it's mass rabid patriotardism that's stirred up kikes to their own advantage.
Yeah,
and we represent an opposition to that, and. I don't emphasize, I am an American. I'm not a German. I don't pretend to be German. I just have to be that, mostly that in descent. What I'm talking about is a kin-based society in which there's, the nation is felt more as an extended clan than the hyper-individualism, and anybody can be an American no matter where they come from as long as they accept certain beliefs. America's a creed. No, America was people from Europe and primarily Britain with a handful of Germans and Dutch and French who formed a new white nation, and it's evolved over a couple hundred years, but the white people are the nation. It was never intended to be for Orientals or Jews or blacks or Mexicans, and the Jews have taken over our press and they lie about our history. So I'm trying to provide people with the one alternative I think will work, and I think the German nationalists provide a good example of how an ethnic team approach is the only one that can combat with the Jews.
This Sun, this evil newspaper, was inciting British football fans to go over to Germany and cause mayhem.
Mm-hmm.
They were inciting them. They were putting forward, we beat the Germans in 1945 and we can beat them again with your help. Go over there and beat them up. This was Murdoch's paper, inciting people to do that.
Sure. There's such a double standard, because the minute you say anything against Jews, oh, that's evil anti-Semitism.
Mm.
You hate Jews, but yet they're willing to do that as long as they can pit whites against whites.
Yeah.
So we're just telling anybody listening to wake up and realize what's going on. You're being manipulated against your own interests. And it's remarkable how gullible white people are and how easily they fall for that.
The same
thing over here. People, I hate France, because they're always trying to... They're less against Germany over here now, because I think they realize they kind of need her to pull in, but they're very anti-French. They're all the late-night comedians always make fun of France, and they're considered really wimpy and wussy, although they obviously don't know any French history.
Yeah.
But the absolute stirring up of hatred of some and false attraction to others is ubiquitous in the U.S. media. And it's not just the political analysts, it's the comedians, really, as much as anything. They teach us we can hate Germans and French and Arabs, but we have to love the Jews, and they're always on our side. And, God, do you think these idiots, I don't know what they call them in England, if they have a term for the people who fought World War II, but here they call them the greatest generation. They got to be laughing up their sleeve about that, but...
Yeah.
Well, these old men and tell them how great they are. Well, look at how America, look at what's going on in America today. You greatest generation.
Yeah,
look what you left.
Yeah. Well, that talks about a lot of old guys who fought in the war against Hitler, and they said it was one of the greatest mistakes that they've ever done in their life. I said, well, can you clarify that? Where Sir Oswald Mosley was arrested under 18B, if you knew what you knew now, what would you do? They said, I go to prison. And these are guys who fought in the war against so-called national the evil national socialists.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the simple truth is hushed up. Hitler did not want war with Britain. He admired the British Empire. He wanted them to join with him in fighting back the fucking Jew Bolsheviks, as the Germans called them, the Jews who produced the communism that killed tens of millions of white people in Russia, the real crime of the 20th century that is never discussed and was hushed up in the Jew-owned papers here in the U.S., principally the New York Times, which actually took an award Fritz reporter Durante, who covered up what Stalin was doing in starving the Ukrainians, and they've never rescinded that award. Huh. So that's Jewish honesty for you.
There you go.
Yeah.
And they do the same here. They keep big lists of people they don't like. They bribe cops to get information. They kill people. They smear their character. These are the people that we do battle against. We are Radio Free America.
Yep.
Broadcasting to Americans and British and Germans and anyone who's listening in worldwide from pole to pole. This is the only place, you know. There is no Jew between me and you, as James put it.
Yep.
You know? And keep that in mind, because there is a Jew between me and you. When I'm the guy talking to you from your local news station, your local paper, there's a Jew telling me what I can and can't say.
Mm-hmm.
It's only here from us at BNN you're getting a real picture of what's going on.
That's right.
Backed up by all the factual evidence you want.
And that leads perfectly into this next letter.
Go for it, Stan.
It says, Alex and staff, if you were not making a dent in the wall of Kikedom, you would be ignored. As it is, mm-hmm. you're beginning to put the skier on them, as Nathan Bedford Forrest would say. The oppression of free speech in this country by the Zagloidites is exemplified by what is happening to VNN at this moment. Don't let the bastards get you down. I look forward to the return of VNN. This is in response to our being shut down for that one day by Warman. And
I like that, Zagloidites.
Yep.
Who's that letter from?
That is from Live Free.
All right. Well, we appreciate the sentiment, and I believe you're right. I mean, they don't want anybody telling people what's actually going on. And, you know, honest men can back up what they say. They don't have a weak character. They don't go around smearing and lying about people. We're not saying these things because we enjoy criticizing even Jews. I mean, I don't enjoy criticizing Jews or blacks. My point is that they can't live together. Just everything that we say tracks with what the founders said and what the statistical evidence says. And we are the ones they call haters. But they never have a valid reason for being opposed to us. They never cite any evidence that proves that we're out there raping and murdering people.
Right.
No. All the evidence is the other way. So there's nothing on their side except smears and campaigns of vilification. They are the bad guys. We are the good guys.
Yep.
Very clear.
Mm-hmm.
And we will never give up. It doesn't matter if they knock us off a server or not. We will come back. We have more sites. Every year we get more sites, we get more radio and TV and more stuff on the internet, more local blogs. We're growing. We're not going anywhere. The kikes are going somewhere, and so are the people who support them. We're going to drive them out.
Yep.
Okay? Mm-hmm. We are not going anywhere. And white men have only... The Jews are very highly leveraged and extended. They've got every possible cylinder churning away. Well, whites have not even begun to fight back yet. We are the tip of the spear of people who are Jew aware and fighting back against the Jew in verbal form by pointing out their lies and pointing out how people can work together to fight against them. But there's all kinds of whites who are going to awake and join us in our cause.
That is right.
Because our cause is their cause. It's their own racial self-interest in living in a world where you can speak the truth about things that matter.
Mm-hmm.
And live without niggers, you know, raping your daughter and murdering your son and kikes lying about you and your motives and sending you off to war for their country. You know, let the kikes fight their own battles.
That's it.
That's all I got to say about that one.
This next one is rather short. It says, Stan, fuck the Jews. James.
Pithy.
Some guy named James Hawthorne.
All right.
That's me.
Yep. Straight and to the point. I like that.
Indeed.
As always.
Fuck the Jews.
Oh, our good friend Michael Blevins wrote us. He says, for what it is worth, I think you guys are doing a wonderful job. I am sorry the site went down for whatever reason. Sincerely, Von Bluvins.
All right.
Just want to thank Michael. I through this broadcast, I just want to thank Mike, and you know, he's been through an awful lot lately. And I just want to say that, you know, we understand, and you know, keep the faith, brother.
Yeah, more people doing media, the better. I mean, I know he's done a lot for years. He's had people on who have bashed us for what I believe are invalid reasons, but
Yeah.
Hey, let him go his own way. We don't mind criticism. What we mind is people scurrilously attacking us and trying to drag us down. Mm-hmm. We're trying to contribute and help, and we've done nothing but that for 6 years. So keep that in mind. We are the good guys.
Yep.
And don't attack people on the white side, even if you disagree with how they're doing it. Just do your own thing.
Exactly.
Do it as well as you can. You know, we don't go off criticizing other groups. Sometimes if we have to report the facts about them, we will.
Yeah.
But we don't make stuff up. We don't go behind the scenes and do dirty stuff to people who are more or less on the same side.
Yep. Because we're a true white freedom speech forum, we give you the opportunity to answer us back.
Yeah, we do. We're judging stuff a little more closely now. Just because we get knocked down, we want to have activists. We don't want chatterers. We've been talking about this stuff for years. It's time to begin to grow our own blogs and our own local networks of people who can politically fight back.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, we don't need the bullshit.
I agree.
There's plenty of other places you can go. We want activists.
Yeah.
Look at how much we've done. I would say we've done more than any other group or websites out there in terms of creating media and pulling people together to do projects, and we're only just getting started with that.
Yep.
We encourage you of good character who are listening to this to join us, and we can help direct you to the people who can help you expand whatever your ability is or whatever you bring to the table. We can put it to good use. So we want you. We want your participation. And the best thing, as Hezbollah has shown, you know, keep stuff decentralized, local, project-based action. Obviously, they're physically fighting a war, and we're not doing that, but... create these big memberships. The Jews are spying in the postage. There are numbers of ways they can interfere with it. When you create networks of local people who are not known to them, it makes them dig that much harder, and they may not be able to come up with who's working with you. You create your own local teams. Look to us for national guidance on the different policy issues. And really, our case isn't that hard to understand. And we'll help you give you some of the tools, such as a local blog, if you will reliably stick with it and counter your local media. That's what we want to do. That's the way to go about it. Use the local media to create local networks of people who can fight back politically against the Jews who are claiming that they speak for our community when they don't. We speak for our community. Our community does not want illegal Mexicans here, does not want subsidized nigger housing. All right? We stand against the people who hate whites, the Loxists, who mean genocide for our community, and now is the time to fight back.
Yep.
I would emphasize that on a global scale, even in UK, France, Australia, New Zealand, in your local newspaper, run a blog against your local newspaper and fight back.
Yeah. It's perfectly practicable anywhere in the world.
Yep.
You know, here's the other thing is, you know, you don't have to get into the theory and the deeper meaning of stuff. You can simply follow up on their mistakes and provide some of the context that they're missing, and you're not going to have any problem getting knocked off your server, most likely. Let us worry about that stuff, but this is a way that you can fight back, because you know how it is. You know, even if they print letters, first of all, they usually won't print any interesting letters. Second of all, they're it's just a very weak way to fight back through letters to the editor. It won't get anywhere. But the blog, you control what's said on it.
Yep.
If you do it often enough, you're going to get readership if you have any kind of ability.
And journalists get a bit concerned about it, too.
Yeah, they don't like people talking about what they're doing or correcting their mistakes or telling the readers... their readers what they aren't telling them or how they're misspinning it. And also, let's leave some room for honesty. Some of them just aren't very good.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact is that a lot of these people are girls and boys, essentially, who are 23, who've just come out of college. They don't really know much. And some of them are capable of being led a little bit and given examples of where they've done wrong and where they could do better, maybe open their eyes a little bit. But most of them are typically, they're looking to move up. They want to assemble clips, that is, cuts of their different stories they've written, proving they can flesh out the framework as well as the next guy, and then maybe they can move on to the next bigger city.
Right.
You know, and that's how journalism works.
But it's great for people on our end who are from the white nationalist perspective, and to use that as their journalism 101, and what best to move in on your local newspaper.
And here's the other thing about that is like I said, most of the people at these small town papers, like here in Kirksville, of the reporters, this is usually their first hire. The publisher may be a long term guy because he may own it himself, or be part of a chain. He may be there, but the rest of them cycle through. So if you cover your community consistently, after about a year to 2 years, you're going to have covered it longer than the average reporter at your paper who's just there to move on to the next job. They're just here to build up some clips. You know, like the editor who interviewed me here for the story that never ran a couple of years ago, well, he was editor for about maybe 14, 18 months, and he's out the door. Now they got a new one. And the reporters, you know, they hired a girl within the last year, and the two guys, I don't know, they write about sports, which is not really here or there. They're quickly moving on.
And
they cycle through.
And you know what happens, Alex? The blog will go through their office and go, well, if you're covering stuff that they're not covering, it'll go through maybe not the main reporters, but go through all their assistants. Oh, did you read the blog?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It undermines these fucking craving fucking journalists.
Yeah, because these local ones are afraid of offending the advertisers, and so there's all kinds of stuff that, and when you combine that with their political fears, it leaves a huge body of stuff that they won't cover. There's also the fact that people are related, and if they have this shit on some lawyer or someone at the TV station or whatever, they're not going to run it.
Yeah.
Those are their buddies. And there's a little ring of people in any human situation. There's a little ring of people who are kind of the controlling elite that are kind of watching each other's back. And this is where information gets suppressed that you can bring out. And all you have to do is be careful legally not to accuse people without basis. But you can. There's just great hunger for that kind of information. It feeds very naturally into a blog that itself feeds into a forum, like BNN
does,
forum, except aimed at local people. And I've said that 100 times. You can see that with KTVO when they had their own local forum set up that they finally took down. But it had a few hundred people and was gaining reasonably rapidly. It was gaining new people, and there was all kinds of interesting information about suppressed news on there. But
and
they pulled it down. Well, I won't pull one down.
What happens then is you'll have people, not the main journalists, but people who work under them, feed news stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this is the thing. It's a small town. People know what's going on. If they know what's going on and they know you, or even if they want to be anonymous, they can post stuff on your website. And as long as it's legally okay, you go with it. And pretty soon you've got an information source that is way better than the paper, since they don't report anything anyway. All these little papers are is they run comic strips. The only real reporting they do is on the local sports, and then maybe one other article. The rest is all taken off the AP wire. So it's just they're just rerunning syndicated comic strips and advice columns and Billy Graham and a handful of stories about the state that are taken off the AP wire, and almost no local reporting. Maybe one original local reporting story a day. That is it. That is the whole substance of what the paper publishes. The only reason people get it is because A, there hasn't been anything else up to now. B, there's they can read the obituaries. And get a handful of syndicated columns. That's it. You can supply the actual news, because they even if they wanted to, they really couldn't, just because it doesn't fit their format.
So, Alex, do you think you'll be mayor in 4 years or what?
Think I'll be what?
Mayor in 4 years.
Mayor in 4 years. Well, our last mayor was apparently was the only known suspect in the burning of Tutal's, the bar here. Well, she subsequently sold it and left to pursue other business opportunities.
Okay.
A couple of the guys on the town council were arrested for drunk driving. So, all in all, Kirksville has. I don't want to be mayor because Kirksville's. There's nothing wrong with the way it's run. I mean, it's run pretty competently, and it just shows average people can run a town. It's when you get a whole bunch of money at stake that you start to get the professional pals in there, and they get their buddies and they divvy up the contracts, but. Luckily, we're not at that level where there's such corruption, so that we can have a mayor who's an arsonist, and it's not really a problem.
Yeah, as I said before, the blog running alongside your local newspaper is so powerful.
Oh, yeah. As long as you keep the local college professors off the fucking town council, you're not going to have any problems because they're all leftists and they got their usual cockamamie ideas. But if you just let locals run it, even if they're criminals, it's not going to be that bad. The problems that America has are at the fucking national level.
Especially people who are involved in our movement, who want to be journalists, but because of what they believe in, can't be journalists. This is a great way to become a journalist.
Sure.
It really is.
It's absolutely open to talent. Anyone can do it. The technical knowledge is almost zero, and B will help you with it. If you want to set up a blog, we can do that for you.
Yep.
If you will reliably report in your community and feed into our national network, because we're a Kirksville, just like in your town, is a microcosm of what's going on in the national scene, and we see these horrible policies play out in person.
It'd be great to have links to all the blogs that people have set up in throughout the country or throughout the world, in fact.
Look at how Altermedia has done it throughout the world, and they still censor news. They give you a different slice, but it's leftists blaming corporations. Well, we can do a global nationalist network of local blogs that are linked into the main broadcasting, which is us and the main site, which gives you the global picture in which you fit the local blog. That's the idea. It can be done. You just need the people to do it who actually want to cover their local city. Yeah. And it's pretty interesting because you can make fun of them for misspelling words all the time and fucking stuff up. And you can be on them like an ombudsman, and a free editor. Apart from the original content that you produce.
Well, this is the last one for now. There are a whole bunch of others, but they're mainly dealing with the same thing, which is where did BNN go and when's it coming back? But this one stands out. It's Alex and Friends, and this is from Hans. He says, "Hi, I just finished listening to Goyfire number 34, and at the very end you asked me to write in and let you know what I thought. Guys, this show was excellent. I couldn't turn it off and ended up listening to the whole thing. I plan on listening to show number 35 tomorrow night, and I'm going to be shooting the link to some others I know. It is so damn refreshing to hear you say it like it is.
Yep.
I thought you might want to mention this, how the people of fascist Spain under Francisco Franco were so completely different from the spic mestizo animals here in the Americas. I mean, once the nationalists under Franco had the sack to kick the damn commies out of Spain, there was such order on the peninsula from 1939 all the way up to 1975 when, sadly, the whole place went to hell and turned into a fucking Jew nightmare it is today. Also, one quick question. If I mailed you some cash to help you cover costs and wrapped it invisibly in an envelope, would it get to you all right? Let me know. Thanks.
Oh, yes.
Yes, it would. We've never had any evidence of people messing with mail, although many people fear that. I have seen only 2-3 pieces over 6 years that I thought might have been tampered with, but I had no proof that they were.
Right.
But we'll get it, and we'll thank you for it. I've been to Spain. It's beautiful.
Hmm.
I mean, Spain and Italy are beautiful, got great weather, but I guess Spain is being invaded by Africa.
Yep.
And Toledo, Spain in particular, is a beautiful town, but about a day trip from Madrid.
Hmm.
Yeah, Franco... they cracked down. They didn't allow lots of pornography and stuff like you see in Europe today. And Franco was hated the way that who is the guy in Chile was hated, because the leftists want the commies in there to fuck it up.
Yeah.
Pinochet.
Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Keep fighting, Spain. And we know they busted a bookseller over there for selling books. So that's the new European spirit,
i.e.
the Jew spirit.
He closes with, "Keep up the great work, my brothers. I really think the Jew is on his way out, as he is being exposed so much more. Warm, white nationalist regards, Hans."
We hope.
Hey, well, thanks for the letter, Hans. We're glad to hear that you're listening to us, and I'm assuming you're over there in Europe, and just keep fighting.
Yep.
For those bastards at the EU Monitoring Center on European Racism, what have you. And we just saw that, I don't know if the whole Congress passed it, but I think the Bush is pushing hard for the U.S. to sign off these latest laws binding U.S. to international treaties that stop cybercrime, but of course certain political opinion is included as crime in there, especially what we're talking about right now. They call it racism, they call it a crime in Europe, and forces in the U.S., including Bush, are trying to get our Congress to sign off on that so they can aid other countries in going after people like Simon Shepard and Tom Wernicke, who are stating their case on servers based in the U.S. where it's totally legal. So the global kike network is what we are fighting.
Yep.
And about the only rock we have left to hide behind is the First Amendment, guaranteeing us formal legal freedom of speech, even though it's very hard to carry out because of a behind-the-scenes Jewish pressure and a corporate cowardice. But we will absolutely do whatever we can to aid anybody anywhere in the world speaking the truth to Jews